Please be advised that this story touches on issues relating to mental health and suicide,
which some listeners may find upsetting.
We should probably introduce ourselves. I'm Micah.
And I'm Sydney.
And this is a podcast called Conversations with Sydney.
That's me.
A number of states have recently passed laws requiring public schools to inform parents if their children use names or pronouns that are not gender conforming.
So today, we are speaking with a young teacher who shares a very personal take on these issues.
Recording in progress.
So could you please tell us your name?
You can call me Donna.
And your pronouns?
They, them. I honestly just use the word queer to identify myself.
Donna graduated from a teacher training program in South Carolina, which recently passed a law requiring schools to out queer kids to their parents.
My senior year, I had to do a whole semester-long internship at local schools. There is a mandate where if a student expresses to you that they think they are trans, you have to notify your cooperating teacher if you are a student teacher. And then the teacher subsequently notifies admin, who then calls parents.
Donna understands the trauma of being forcibly outed by their school because it happened to them.
Okay, so in eighth grade, I was very angsty. I was going through my angsty phase, and I was confiding in my English teacher, as many queer children do, telling her I was having these feelings that don't seem really normal. You know, like, I seem to like men and women, and I don't really know how to quite deal with that. And she was like, okay, well, you know what? I'm not really equipped for this. So she referred me to the school counselor. The school counselor then called me into his office and proceeded to tell me that I had to come out to at least one of my parents. And I was literally crying, tears running down my face. He was like, rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how comfortable you are with coming out to your dad. And I was like, 0. No. Full stop. He was like, okay, what about your mom? I was like, maybe a 4 or 5. He was like, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to call your mom together and you're going to tell her. So we try to call her, and of course she's at work, so it goes to voicemail. So he has me instead draft a letter, which I present to her when I get home. She was like, well, I don't quite support it, but I still love you.
Can you tell us a little bit about your dad?
He is very right-wing and has very openly expressed intense disdain for any queer people, gay relationships, gay anything.
Were you worried that your dad would be violent or kick you out?
Yeah.
Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth, the chief medical officer of the Jed Foundation, says that forcibly outing kids to their parents can be dangerous.
You know, many families initially react poorly, and then they can become more open over time. But there are times when coming out to a parent can be potentially really dangerous, and when being outed by someone else can be devastating. You know, some parents react with physical discipline, others kick their children out so they have nowhere to live and no access, you know, to food or clothing.
How did this affect your mental health?
Oh, I think it was insanely impactful. I began having panic attacks in school. I'd have to leave early in the day. It instilled it to me at a very young age, this sense of like chronic trepidation, which is a really bad feeling to have in a house that's supposed to be your home.
Donna grew increasingly anxious that this information would affect their relationship with their mom.
I had already such a close relationship with her, so I was very, very scared of putting that into jeopardy and just not having that not be the same, which it wasn't for at least a few months. And then also anxiety over, okay, but who is she going to tell? My dad? What will he do?
Being forcibly outed to their parents, Donna says, stripped away their sense of their own autonomy.
That should really be left up to the student. Although they are a child, they still deserve autonomy over their decisions. And I feel like that was definitely taken away in that moment. That's a feeling that never really leaves you. no matter how long ago it was.
Most people end up telling their families at some point. And it takes time and it takes feeling these things out and really understanding how your family is likely to react. And doing things on an expedited timeline can really change the way that the family hears what's happening and understands what's happening. Young people really want to be part of their families, and they're just trying to figure out how to do that, and they need the time and space to figure it out.
How important is family acceptance for suicide prevention?
There is a lot of evidence that young people who have more parental support are less likely to attempt suicide. The latest data we have from the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Survey, it's from 2023, and in that year, 41% of LGBTQ youth reported having seriously considered suicide. And that's compared to 13% of cisgender straight youth.
Donna, did you have any sort of support?
Honestly, my number one support system was the internet, which is really bad in hindsight, like an eighth grader in 2014 using the internet for emotional support, because I didn't know any openly queer people.
If you could speak to your guidance counselor today, what would you say?
I would just express anger, because I feel like that situation was violently mishandled. I feel like that created so many issues for me personally that I hope that no one ever has to go through something like that again, because you never know what's going on in a familial unit. That could genuinely be life-threatening for some students, you know, especially at that age. Moving away helped. Let's just put it that way. Definitely helped me be more comfortable with who I am, like feeling like I didn't have to hide it when I came home.
Donna left home to study music education at a college in South Carolina, where they discovered a very different social reality.
I was immediately surrounded by queer people my first day. I mean, in marching band, that was my intro to college. And immediately there were a plethora of queer people. I found a lot of queer friends, some of whom I consider family. You have this idea growing up that, like, the South is just inherently racist and inherently heteronormative. But the reality is there's a lot of queer people that live here. Queer people are everywhere.
While their college community was welcoming to their queer identity, Donna's experience as a student teacher in a local public school was definitely not.
Unfortunately, one of my cooperating teachers was extremely homophobic. I'm talking dead-naming trans students in front of the entire class, talking about genitals openly and saying that whatever is in between your legs is what you are, and there's no denying that. Reprimanding students after him overhearing them use, like, they-them pronouns. He would say that he doesn't want any of that in his classroom. I had a student come up and ask me, oh, like, what are your pronouns? I told them, I was like, they, them. And they were like, oh, okay, great. That was the extent of the conversation. I was then pulled into a private room and was told that if I ever did that again, that I would receive disciplinary action. As someone who was queer in that environment, that was just completely unsafe, because this man is also in charge of my grade. He determines whether I pass or fail. So really, it wasn't about, like, me trying to be me anymore. It was about me trying to fly under the radar just so I could get a passing grade to leave.
How did that affect how you interacted with the students?
When you have to show up and you, like, can't be you, it's just, that's really mentally taxing. My mental health was abysmal. Like, I was not eating. I was not sleeping. It was terrifying. I was having heart palpitations, lightheadedness, sweating, shaking, like just nervousness, anxiety and panic attacks while I'm teaching. It was unfair to the students as well, because I was just so checked out.
Did you ever feel suicidal during this period?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. After I had graduated, I was admitted to a psych center. I've always had an anxiety disorder, but this really was, like, the worst I've ever been in my life, for sure. And this experience taught me, like, I could never step foot in a classroom and do that again.
After having been both a student and a teacher, do you have any advice for young people who are afraid to come out to their parents?
I really don't have any advice because I don't feel like I've overcome the issue, to be honest with you. I feel like I still deal with it every day. It really just comes down to, like, are you willing to be yourself at the expense of other connections that you have with family? Which is crazy. You know, if they knew who you actually were, would they still love you?
Today we spoke with Donna, a young teacher in South Carolina, and Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth, the chief medical officer at the Jed Foundation.
And this is Conversations with Sydney.
Hello, that's me.
This program was produced by Common Good Productions
in association with WBGO Studios.
Conversations with Sydney is a part of WBGO's Voices of Wellness, made possible in part by a grant from the Horizon Foundation for New Jersey.
If you are having thoughts of suicide, please call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988.